What's the most important thing I'm doing with my life? Have you ever thought about that? What's the most important thing that I'm doing with my life? The most important thing that I'm doing with my life is to live it, to enjoy it, to be myself and have fun. Now, many people think that the most important thing to do with their life is to make other people happy. And other people think that the most important thing to do with their life is to be rich and famous. And other people think the most important thing to do with their life is to be healthy, because they're experiencing illnesses and things like that. They want to be healthy. And other people think the most important thing to do with their life is to make an impression on the world of their great talent, like an artist or sculptor or what have you. But truly, what is the most important thing that I want to do with my life, that I want to do that would make me happy, that would make me so satisfied? Well, now, everyone's got a little different point of view on that. A little different point of view on what would make you happy, what would make you fulfilled. Well, just consider once, if you were going to live on a desert island. A desert island is in the middle of the ocean, and absolute perfect temperature. The waters around the island are teeming with fish that you can catch to eat. And there are no sharks or no bad things in the water. You can just go walking in and swim and come out, and nothing to be concerned about in the slightest. And you have lovely palm trees, and you have created yourself a beautiful cave, which is dry and nice. And only you live in there, no snakes or other critters. It's just for you. And you've made yourself a bed of palm fronds and so forth, and somehow you've made it comfortable for yourself. And you have all the foods that you need. You have a perpetual fire that's burning in a little pit so that you can cook your food, make your fish, and do other things and warm up your pineapples and your coconuts and various other things that you might want to eat. And you're all by yourself. You have nobody else to please. You have nobody else to look after. You have nobody else to be worried about you. And you're not worried about yourself. I am healthy, you say to yourself. And you live in a healthy body. I am happy. And you live in a happy body. I am surrounded by bliss, by purity, by peace, by gentleness. And you live a very blissful, peaceful life. Now, you say, well, it'd be nice if there were other people here too. And no, you don't get any other people. You don't get any other people, because if you have other people there, you're going to start reacting with them. You're going to start responding with them. You're going to start recognizing their needs and their wants and wanting to help them to accomplish it. Or you're going to think that they should be doing their part in the management of your island, of your home, of your relationship. And right away, you want to make sure that everybody else does something instead of just being yourself. Now, for you to be yourself on a desert island and self-sustain yourself in a very beautiful way is very easy. Very easy. You don't need a lot of stuff. And you don't need to cut down more pineapples than you need. You cut a pineapple and you eat it, and then that's your meal for a month. And then you cut a coconut down and you eat the coconut, because you have no refrigerator. You have no way of maintaining it fresh, so you eat it. When you cut it, you eat it. And if you just cannot stuff anything more in your belly, you put it aside, and you eat it as long as it remains fresh, and then when it starts getting bad, you throw it out. Or you use it for fish food, or whatever else you're going to use it for. Now, why is it that having other people would create a dilemma for you? Why is it having other people on your island would create an unhappiness for you. You think, wouldn't it be wonderful to play cards with somebody, or to talk to somebody, or to swim with somebody, or to enjoy them, even have sex with somebody, you know? Wouldn't it be fun to have the fulfillment of whatever that would call for? And the answer is no. You're living on this desert island, and the first thing you are, there's nobody. There just is nobody. And so you have not made a feeling that there should be somebody, because there is nobody, and you have nobody. So then, after you get over the idea that there's nobody, and you're used to having people, then you begin to be quiet and peaceful within yourself. And you become relaxed and at ease. Your bodily wants are limited. The temperature is absolute perfect, you know. You're warm and wearing nothing, and you're warm wearing something, but it doesn't really matter. You swim or you don't swim, or you lay on the beach in the sun, and the sun doesn't burn you because you just lay out there as long as it's comfortable. And when you're done, you get up. You don't say, I'm going to stay here for 2 hours, and I'm going to get toasted brown, and I'm going to look like a bear. Just let it come naturally. Just let it come happen. And as you go along, your body soon loses a lot of demands for you. You don't need as much food, and you don't need the variety. And you're drinking water. You have a nice fresh spring on your desert island, and the fresh water is there all the time. And you get plenty of water, but you don't need much. You're drinking maybe a cupful a day, and you're just happy. And every organ action function of your body is absolutely perfect, because you have nothing to tell you that it's not perfect. And your mind is happy, because it's now ceasing to dwell on the past. It's now ceasing to look to yesterday and gain happiness from that. And it's ceasing to look to the future of being rescued, because that's not going to be. If it's going to be, it's going to be, and you don't worry about it. But you start living in the now. And you start living in this very moment now. And you're saying to yourself, okay, all I got is me. And I don't really have me. I'm just a body. But I do have a mind. I do have the ability to go within myself, the ability to think within myself, the ability to talk to myself, the ability to know who and what I am. And so I sit under the coconut tree, in the shade, in the beautiful warm breeze, and I think to myself, who am I? Who am I really? And the thought comes to me, well, you're the creator of your world. You are the only one who brings any experience into your world. If you wanted to be back in civilization, you'd be there. If you wanted to be swimming in the ocean, you'd be there. If you want to come out of the ocean and be dry, you'd be dry. If you wanted to do anything, you'd do anything. No problem at all. Everything would just work perfectly, harmoniously for you. This is talking to you inside yourself. And you say to yourself, that doesn't seem reasonable. That doesn't seem reasonable that I can live here in this paradise and not need anything else other than that. And so as you live with this introspective self, which is your reality, little by little, all the need for food goes away, the need for water goes away, the need for breathing goes away, the need for anything goes away, and you're into this state of oneness with all. And as you're in this state of oneness with all, you think, oh, gee, that's cool, yeah. I think I'll go and take a look at Tokyo. So you're zip over to Tokyo. And you see the people in Tokyo, but now you see, you're a different person. You're not the person who was cast away on that island. You're now a person who no longer needs to eat, to sleep, to drink, to breathe, to do any of these things. And yet you are a very physical person. You're very real. But you have created your own world. The atomic substance of your body sustains itself. The energy of the body empowers you with all the energy of the universe. You have everything within you if you want it. But your mind transcends even that. And so you're in your mind. And so you're off visiting Tokyo. And you're walking around the streets of Tokyo and you think, well, it'd be nice to look at the Mount Fujiyama. And so, pop, up there on top of the mountain you are. Gee, it'd be nice to look on the top of Mount Everest. Pop, up there you are. Gee, it'd be nice to talk to some of the gurus in India. Pop, there you are. Gee, it'd be nice to look in New York City and see what people are doing in New York City. Pop, you're there. Or you're over in Bern, you know, looking at the city of Bern and seeing what's going on there. Or you're visiting your children, and your children can see you, and they can talk to you, and you can talk to them. But you have absolutely no interest in what they're doing except that they're happy. You have no interest in what they're doing, or what their needs are, or anything, except that they're happy. And you see them happy with your consciousness. And so, you leave. You go somewhere else. You travel wherever you wish. And wherever you wish to be, you're there. Now, is this a possibility? Is this a reality? Mm-hmm. Is this something that people do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Now, do you do that? Can you do that? And what happens when you do that? Do you go there as a revealed master who does not need to breathe or drink or eat or, you know, warm or cold, totally untouched by the physical environment? Totally one as the environment within your consciousness and your heart and your soul and your mind, you see? You can do that. Now, so you say to yourself, my goodness, these people in the world are very busy, very geschäftig, you know, very, very busy, just going, 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 going. And I bless them. I bless them. They don't know that it's not important. I do. They don't know that it's not important at all, and I do. I'm untouched. And I visit my mom and my dad, and I visit my brothers and sisters. I visit them who have passed on and who have not passed on, because they're all one, you know. They are wherever I want to visit them. If I want to visit them in yesteryear, I visit them. If I want to visit them in tomorrow, they do. If I want to visit them in now, I do. But I soon lose all desire for that sort of a manipulation of my being. And I say, okay, now, I am the allness. I am the isness. I am the dynamics of everything that life is. So, in being all, now I don't need to eat, drink, sleep. In being all, what is it that gives me pleasure? Seeing people, seeing family, seeing friends, or being in my own inner divine self? What is in my inner divine self? Is there something in my inner divine self that would bring me happiness? You know? Is it something that I can touch, something that I can recognize, something that I can be sensitive to? And if you haven't tried it, of course, then you'll ask the question very often. But if you tried it, if you have entered in to your inner sanctum, into that inner sanctuary of peace and purity and wholeness and your oneness, you'll find, as the Buddha found, the great bliss. But he wanted to tell people about it. And there are billions of other people who are out telling people about their bliss. And all the people that Buddha told about his bliss could not see it, could not find it, could not feel it, could not touch it, could not be it. They had no idea. And all the other great awareness beings who have achieved this consciousness of mastership and go out back into the world like Jonathan Livingston Seagull, sort of, you know, and wanting to, well, you can't help anybody else. Everybody's got to walk their own path, and they all know they can turn within, but they all also know that turning within is a very empty project. Because you turn within with the idea that you want it to be something cognizable, something understandable, something that fits in your normal human framework. And your divine framework just doesn't fit in your human framework. It does not have any limitations to it. It doesn't have any aspects to it that are understandable. Because the Buddha tried to bring his bliss to the people and show them bliss by looking at a flower or whatever he used to teach them. And they didn't get it. His associate, the person who watched over him and was his caretaker, so to speak, he didn't even get it. He didn't even get it. You take the disciples of Jesus, whom we have a great reverence for, a great respect for, and a great admiration for. You take Jesus, you say, yeah, he's got it made. But yet he came back to show the way, to be the way shower. And his disciples were right with him, working with him for several years. And as they worked with him, what did they come away with? Nothing. Nothing. Because they wanted to sit on the right hand, the left hand, in this golden castle, this golden circumstance of heaven, of streets of gold, and sort of thing, like many people try to tell us. But that's not it. There is no knowable, human knowable awareness of bliss. There's no human knowable awareness of the divine. No human knowable, this of course you have to agree with, no human knowable awareness of God. What is God? What is the creator of all of us? And we're told again and again and again, it's within us. Then we should be able to go within ourselves and meditate quietly, peacefully, lovingly, gently, go within ourselves and touch base with our divinity. Touch base with that. And if not recognizing it, no longer wanting to remain on the human and be the divine. Now, the philosopher lectures there, they had one series on the law and medicine. And in the law and medicine, a major aspect that they were talking about was suicide. People committing suicide because their bodies were not comfortable for them, because they were sick, because circumstances in life just were not satisfying, and they wanted to get out of it. Stop the world, I want to get off, sort of thing. Well, now, science and philosophy are saying suicide is wrong. It goes all the way back to Augustine and beyond that. And they all, even Aristotle and Socrates, they all were saying suicide was wrong. To take your own life is wrong. But we're taking our own life all the time. We're taking our own life by not recognizing how beautiful we are, and how wonderful we are, and how fantastic we are. We're taking our own life every time we worry about somebody else. Now, if we say about somebody else, all is in divine order, and let it go, mm-hmm. then we're doing the right thing. But if we're saying about somebody else, this is how you solve your problem, and we haven't even solved our own, then we better watch our language, watch our words. But what is it that you really want in life? You cannot appreciate what it means to be in bliss. You cannot appreciate what it means to be in your inner divine self. And until you can appreciate that, you will never appreciate why you're here. And you will appreciate your divine being, you'll appreciate your inner self when you take time to be still. You can be walking along being still. You can be dancing and being still. You can be climbing mountains and being still. You can have moments of illumination, you know. You can have many epiphanies that illumine you into some brilliant, beautiful understanding. But what have you got? Just another awareness. And when you are absolutely aware, then you are unaware that you're aware. And that's tough. That's real tough, because what do you use as a guideline? Well, the guideline that I recommend is the guideline that says, I like me. When you so like yourself, you're going to find that you're going to enter into that state of bliss. You're going to enter into that kingdom of heaven. You're going to enter into the allness, the knowingness, the isness. And as you enter into it, what's going to happen to you?
You are it.
Then you are it. Did Jesus really know the kingdom of God? And the answer is no. Did the Buddha really know it? And the answer is no. Because if they knew it, they would have stayed there and never returned. But they returned, and with their return, what did they do? They tried to tell everybody about where they were. They tried to tell everybody about bliss like the Buddha and God like Jesus. And it just cannot be done, because you can only do it yourself by taking the time to listening within and listening to the divine within you and being it and living it and knowing it. And that can be done right now. But you gotta give up yesterday, forget tomorrow, and live in the now 100%. And you can do it without touchability, one-pointedness, unpossessed, non-judgmental. You can do it. It just takes practice. Now, the next voice you hear will be your own saying, I got it. So have a lovely morning, have a lovely day, and have a lovely life, but mostly have a lovely now. I love you. I love you.
I love you.